Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy February 24th. We're excited that you're with us today. Happy Saturday. I hope you're having a great afternoon. I'm Paul Jamison, your host for today and the owner of Here's the original names: Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. I could poke fun at myself, see? You know, it's always funny. We're laughing and go, oh, when we're sitting around trying to figure out what to name our business, we're going to get started. Let's call it Jamison. Yeah, that's easy. I'll remember that one. I've been signing that name for 60 years plus. So anyway, we're glad you're with us today. I got Sandy Dickinson here with me from Cross Country Mortgage, going to give us a mortgage update. Hey, Sandy.
Hey, Paul.
And then coming up after that, Chris from Norwood, Armstrong & Stokes will be joining us today, talking about something I didn't learn about until about 2 weeks ago. And you don't want to miss it, because if you don't follow this rule, I believe starting January 1st, 2025, you can be fined $500 a day. I'm pretty sure that's correct. So anyway, something that may be of value to you. So you might want to hang in for that. All right. So, you know, Sandy, what's interesting, you and I, you know, we're on this every week together. And so every week I think about, there can't be that much I've learned from last week to this week. It just can't be, right? I mean, my brain's not that big. Yeah, you're not supposed to laugh. But anyway, it's amazing. So it's been like the light switch has gone off. And we have seen all of a sudden at the beginning of February, I didn't really talk about it up until now because I thought it might be fake. Activity has probably, since December 1st, I think that's a fair assessment, has tripled. We're seeing people starting to come forward, people beginning to go, okay, I'm ready. People saying, all right, I'm ready to buy an investment property. Okay, I'm ready to sell my home. I'm ready to buy a home. Optimism seems to have improved, right? And you know, I have said it before, and I want to be clear now in my feelings and predictions about the market. I believe 2024, we will see a rate decline. When? I thought it was going to be the last, when was it? 2 or 3 weeks ago, when the 4 weeks ago, when the Fed spoke. 3 weeks ago, when the Fed spoke. But no, I did not see it. Political noise will not affect market demand. I think, especially Charlotte, market demand will be consistent. I think it will stay strong. And I believe this year we're going to see what we've seen even a little bit more than last year. You know, remember last year we finished with an inventory that was exceptionally low, under 2 months, whereas a balanced market where buyers and sellers, you know, kind of hold hands and sing kumbaya together, is at 6 months. So we have a very low inventory. I also believe political promises will put some money or optimism into the market when the final candidates are going head to head. So I think there will come super duper promises, super duper actions that people will feel as though one, the other, or both candidates are lining their pockets. in order to create a stronger sense of optimism, whether that be true or false. Next, I wanted to go through from a seller and a buyer perspective of what I'm hearing from people right now in the market and their thoughts and their hesitations. And here's what the sellers are saying. Will I find a home I want even if mine is not sold? I'm afraid inventory is too low. Rates? I don't want to buy. Then rates will fall and I'll get stuck. Next. I need to wait till rates go down before I sell. Next. I don't want to lose my low rate. It's 2 7/8. I'll never see that again in my lifetime. Then, I don't know what to fix in my house. I'll let the buyer fix it. Okay, and I'm going to talk about these later in the show. The buyers? I'll wait till rates go down before I buy. Sound familiar? Next. I want to offer way lower than list price. It didn't sell in a week, so nobody must want it. They'll take a lower price. Next. I want the seller to pay my points and loan cost. And last, we need the seller to fix everything in the inspection report. Now, I just dumped a gargantuan amount of Google all over you. So, since I did that, and I'm not even going to go through these until later on in the show, I'm going to give you, Sandy, an opportunity. Are you ready?
Okay.
This is impromptu, not practiced, not in the outline, but totally.
Right.
One of the biggest objections on the seller and buyer side is rates. I don't want to buy, then the rates are going to fall and I'm going to get stuck. I need to wait till the rates go down before I buy or sell. So two of those things, Sandy, I'm going to give you the opportunity to answer, and then I will color. So I know that you have this big mortgage update that you want to give, but more importantly, these two things on the buyer and seller side, you will give them information about your refi program and your other programs that can help them feel better about making a decision.
Yes.
Go.
So you're not stuck. You're never stuck with a loan because you can always refinance, and we are providing a refinance opportunity with no lender fees if you finance with us. So
wait a minute. What did you just say?
I said that if you finance with us,
okay,
and you got to keep your loan 6 months because that just makes sense. Then you can refinance and we will cover your lender fees. It's going to be pretty inexpensive because chances are you won't need an appraisal. We get a lot of appraisal waivers. You also can reissue your title and that's really inexpensive. You won't have owner's title coverage. The whole process will be fairly inexpensive. And like I say, we're covering lender fees, so you won't have any of those. We are anticipating rates to come down, but I don't think it's going to be fast. So, and if you wait, then the prices are going to go up, and you don't want to pay $10,000 more for a house just to save a few thousand in interest. That doesn't make good financial sense.
Yeah. And again, you can certainly do what I'm doing on a loan you're doing for me right now, is looking at all the different products that Cost Country has, making a financial decision about what points I may pay to lower the rate.
Right, because the buy-downs on the points are pretty cheap right now. So you might want to pay a quarter point or 3/8 of a point to get the lower rate. You have to look at the difference in payment and what it's going to cost you. And we look at all that with everybody.
Yeah,
we make sure that they have options.
Right, because I'm in the process of a loan with you guys right now on a piece of property. And we walked through, I don't even want to count the number of products, but you know me pretty well, so you really came to me with the ones that fit my situation. And we analyzed what to do and what made financial sense, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Including the down payment.
And you made a wonderful choice.
I sure as heck did. I'm very happy. So anyway, I think that's important. But before we break, if you want Sandy, you can reach her. Sandy, how do they get you?
At 704-577-0144. That's my mobile.
704-577-0144. Sandy, stay on. We'll give you a quick second to do a mortgage update before we go to Chris. We'll be right back after the break. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Don't go anywhere!
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Paul Jamison here, your host, owner of the Jamison family of real estate companies. We do traditional real estate, property management, as well as investment. We'd love to help you. I'm here with Sandy Dickinson for the mortgage update, and then we're going to jump in with Chris from Norwood, Armstrong, and Stokes. All right, Sandy, what is on the plate for February the 24th?
Okay, so we're all sitting here. At least all of us in the mortgage business, twiddling our fingers and eating popcorn and waiting to see what the Fed's going to say next. So Neil Cacciacari, who's a big Fed guy, says that his policies aren't that restrictive. But we're all thinking, we're rolling our eyes. We're like, yes, it is. Because look at like used cars. The prices have really dropped on used cars. And that's because of the rates being so high. People can't afford. And he's basing it on things like the housing is appreciating, which we know is because of low demand. And so we're waiting, and I think it's going to happen. I think they're just living.
Well, just to correct you, they were going up because it's low inventory, not low demand, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, low okay. inventory.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah. Sorry. just wanted to make that clarification.
No, that's correct. We don't have low demand. We have high demand. People want to buy.
Right.
And it does make financial sense. The return on investment for houses is terrific. But the anticipation is that they will come down. Just like Paul said, the Fed is living in the past. So give it a few more months, and I think we'll probably start seeing some more movement. They have come down some. I wouldn't keep it from making good decisions about purchasing a home because your return on your investment is so much greater than the cost of the leverage.
All right. One more time, Sandy, if they want to get in touch with you, they have questions, they call you at Cross Country at
704-577-0144.
Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage. Thank you. All right. We're going to pick up Chris here in just a minute. He's going to call back in. But in the interim, you know, I want to make sure you all know our event that is coming up on March the 7th, the Wealth Event. It is our second Wealth Event. We have a really full plate of talent coming in, from oil and gas alternative investments to estate planning to becoming your own bank. I'll do some economic updates, and of course Sandy will give us some mortgage strategies that are relevant. We have people flying in from all over the country. This is a very limited event, typically reserved for clients only. If there are seats left by the time we hear from you, we will offer you that seat. There is no cost to that. It's from 9 to 1, March the 7th. And we send an email to Jerry, J-E-R-R-I, Jerry, at myjamisonhomes.com. Jerry, J-E-R-R-I, at myjamisonhomes.com. So we'd love to see you, potentially see you there if we have any seats left. This isn't one of those things where we go, oh, we have 10 seats left for the first. We don't do that. Okay. All right, we're going to get him here. All right, Chris, now we got you?
Yes, you do.
Ah, there you are. How are you, man? Okay.
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Good, good. So Chris is with Norwood, Armstrong, and Stokes. And Chris, when you sent this subject to talk about today, I heard about it about 2 weeks ago at a conference in Austin, Texas. And I don't like it.
Well, I could kind of understand why a lot of people wouldn't like it.
So it's called the corporate, let's see, what is it? The
Transparency.
Corporate Transparency Act of 2021.
Correct.
Okay, so what is the purpose of this thing?
So the goal isn't necessarily to have Scruff McGruff investigating financial crime, but they're trying to put together what amounts to a tool that the FBI and any other federal law enforcement agency, and in some instances, administrative agencies and even state agencies, can use to track financial crime. And the tool that they're trying to put together is a way to understand who owns what companies, so that if a company does something illegal, they know how to find the person who's actually directing that activity and consider prosecution against that beneficial owner.
Why now?
Well, that's a good question. Ideas like this have been floating around going back to, I think, around 2011 or 2014. But this is the one that finally got through. It was authorized as part of the National Defense Authorization Act of 2019. And Congress thought it was such a good idea, they overrode a veto for it. And why this particular iteration of it, I'm not sure. You'd have to go ask Congress, and I'd be surprised if you can get a concise answer there. But they very much thought that it was necessary to give the FBI and, frankly, the Treasury Department the tools to keep track of who owns what companies, even though those companies are state authorized entities.
Right. I mean, but don't we already file annual reports on those entities that show ownership?
Well, in some states you do. And in some businesses you do, such as banking and insurance. You might be required to make reports like that to certain state entities, such as a state banking division or the Department of Insurance in North Carolina. But not every state has exactly the same requirements.
Okay, so that's why this is a federal policy.
In part, but also because it's very easy to amalgamate every state's information into one place if the federal government's the one directing it. You could see something done like this from a private, non-state organization, but I doubt they'd have the money, and they probably – most people probably would not like sharing their information with a private entity, although many people might not enjoy sharing that with the federal government either. But since it's housed in the Treasury Department and since you do file taxes, eventually that information is going to end up there in some form or another regardless. That time frame is for existing entities. If your entity existed prior to 2024, the expectation is that you'll begin filing a beneficial owner report anytime beneficial ownership changes with the part of the Treasury is called FinCEN, and it's just a financial crimes tracking network. And it's supposed to pull together all this information and provide it to law enforcement as requested. Now, the goal there being simply to make sure that entities have an actual owner and that owner is available for prosecution, there's not really much that you can do to get around it besides fit into one of the exceptions. And unfortunately, most of the exceptions are for entities that are otherwise required to file either federally or locally with some other regulatory entity who will make sure that there is a beneficial owner that they can keep track of.
Okay, so give me some things about this. What does it have to do with real estate?
Well, a lot of real estate investors like to use entities, and quite often it's advantageous to do so. For example, even if you own only one rental property, it might be a good idea to house that property in an LLC and take advantage of your state's limitation of liability for you as an owner.
Right.
For one, that prevents any judgments against you personally from attaching to the property, and it means that judgments against the LLC don't attach to your actual home that you don't actually live in or that you don't rent to other people, and that way you're not having judgments against the LLC affect your the house that you live in.
Now, my CPA, who actually announced that this thing existed, said he doesn't do it. He won't do it for you. The attorney will do it, but he won't do it.
The responsibility to actually do the reporting is going to be on the actual beneficial owner. Many attorneys will do this for you, but I don't believe that the statute makes it a requirement for the filer or the organizer of the entity to do the filing.
Yeah, right. That's
part of the reason for that. Yeah. Part of the reason for that is that the report actually requires that you upload a copy of an ID, state or federal. They'll take either. But they want to make sure that there's actually a flesh and blood human being, presumably one that they can get a hold of and prosecute, if need be, responsible for the entity.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay. Well,
I mean, a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I just would have rather seen them change the annual report filing to have the information that they wanted in it. It just...
Well, then you would need every single state to make that change independently. This is a way for the federal government, from their perspective at least, to do that without stepping on toes at the state level by requiring or pushing to require more strict regulation at the state level.
Chris, don't go anywhere. We got to finish this because this could be expensive for folks, so they need to really hear this. So we'll be right back. Chris from Norwood Armstrong & Stokes, myself, Paul Jamison, the show, Your Real Estate Today. Stay right there, please.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. We're here having peanut butter and banana sandwiches with you on a Saturday afternoon. And, yeah. So, TJ and I, my buddy and my producer, we're in the studio together. Yeah, making sandwiches and talking to Chris from Norwood Armstrong & Stokes. So, we're having a good time. We're talking real estate, and that was kind of the what is this, you know, this Corporate Transparency Act that is a requirement for owners of LLCs. It's a reporting requirement. You were getting ready to say, Chris, before I went like way over on the time in the last segment, which will probably people get cut off. But anyway, TJ will fix it. He'll just make me talk faster. So what is this required? Of individuals using LLCs, what's required in this thing? What do you got to have? What are they going to ask you for?
Well, they want to know that you're a flesh and blood human being. That's really about it. They want to know that there's someone that if they catch your LLC in criminal activity, they have someone they can reach out to and discuss that with and seriously consider prosecution over. Okay. What that really means is that you're going to have to file, or most people are going to have to file, what's called a BOIR report. And that's a little redundant. So that stands for Beneficial Ownership Interest Report with FinCEN inside of the Treasury. And that's going to have you provide some personal information establishing that you are a flesh and blood human being and that you are responsible for that LLC. And people who are considered responsible are beneficial owners, anyone owning at least 25% of an entity or who is responsible for the day-to-day management and operations of the LLC will be reported to FinCEN to keep track of. Really the main obligation for most people. If you run a single member, sole member LLC, you do that filing once, maybe you maintain that ownership interest forever and you never have to do another filing. But either way, most people, and especially people with more complicated arrangements than that, are going to look at restructuring their LLCs to make it more manageable when it comes to changing ownership interests and when it comes to actually running a series of companies.
Okay. So, are there any alternatives to this thing?
There's always the old-fashioned alternative. Do everything by partnership. The hard part about that is that you're going back to 1965, and more importantly, you lose all the benefits of a limited liability company. You lose that limited liability. All of your operations are going to be governed by your partnership agreement, and a lot of the times you're going to require a whole bunch of additional signatures on deeds or other documents pertaining to deeds because a partnership involves mutual ownership of the partnership's assets. Mm-hmm. The other arrangement, and this one's a big gray area in the act that created this arrangement, is the possibility of using a different kind of owner for the LLC, such as a trust. There is not a lot of detail about how FinCEN is going to interpret a trust as an owner, And a trustee might own the assets for your benefit, and rather might own the membership interest of an LLC for your benefit, and perhaps that trustee could be reported as a beneficial owner without reporting the full contents of the trustee agreement, and therefore without reporting the full contents of the beneficiaries of that trust. That is an unresolved issue, and if you really want to look at that kind of reporting arrangement, you probably should talk to either a trust attorney or a corporate attorney, or even better, one that does both.
Yeah. Well, so you've got kind of a conclusion here. So what is kind of the conclusion of all this?
Well, the big question going forward is, going to be beneficial to try to get around this, or it's just easier to do a single report? And for most people, it's probably going to be easier just to report and never think about it again and continue not committing crimes with your LLC.
Right.
Because for most people, they don't do criminal activity. And if they were doing it, they probably wouldn't try to do it in something that was traceable through a company.
Right.
But for people who have more complicated arrangements, you might want to talk to an attorney about restructuring how your LLCs work so that you don't have to do excessive amounts of reporting.
Yeah. You know, is, and I don't know if you know this offhandedly, do you know where to go to actually report the LLC, to fill out the documents for this thing?
Yeah, and actually one of the few things that is kind of really impressive about this arrangement is that they actually put thought into the website before putting the rules in place.
No.
I know. It's not like
Obamacare.
The instance of Obamacare,
yeah.
Where the website,
yeah, yeah.
Had
crash every hour.
Was, yeah. Missing a leg.
Yeah.
but this one is not missing its legs. It, okay. Actually functions. It's designed so that you don't have to print a piece of paper and fill it out and send it into them. You fill in the information in a few boxes, and then they print it for you, and they file it in their own system for you. So as long as you have the information they require, they're going to take care of the paperwork.
Is there a fee?
Not that I've seen. I'm pretty sure it's free, but okay. I haven't done one for myself just yet.
Okay. All right. Okay. And what is, do you know where the website is or where,
yeah.
Where it can go?
Let me see if I can. Oh, I don't have it up right this second, but if you go to FINCEN BOIR in Google, the very first result is going to be that one. It's pretty hard to miss. And right at the top of their page is a big old banner that says, here's how you do your BOI report. And you just follow the prompts from there, and you'll get where you need to go.
Yeah, and so this BOIR report so far doesn't cost anything. And I guess, you know, and I'm being a little bit speculative because these days I think of, here's the motive, right? Here's the motive, mm-hmm. for doing this. What's the real motive? So they say, well, and I, to your point, I mean, is there some validity in looking at, you know, corporate crime and being able to find the individuals and so on and so forth? You know, sure, there is. But again, you know, what's, I wonder what the things we're not being told what this is going to be used for. That's the real challenge, is now that data can be mined for multiple things. And I don't know, I just don't like that. You know, it's kind of funny. When COVID came out, they were talking a lot about the shot. And they were talking that, oh, they're going to, inside the shot, there's going to be like a chip. And they're going to track you. And this is all the QAnon stuff, right? Put this chip in you, and they're going to track what you do. And somebody was telling me this whole thing, and I looked at him and I said, they don't need a chip. And he goes, yeah, they do. They need a chip. They're going to track where you go. I go, dude, what's that thing in your hand right there? He says, that's my cell phone. He said, what do you think they're doing, you dummy? Your cell phone, they don't need to put a chip in you. You're carrying it around willfully, and you don't let go of it. And if you lose it, you go into shock because you can't find your phone. So, you know, and I have a wallet, well, you know, with one of those little Apple doolally things. What do you call those things, TJ?
The
AirTag. So that, you know, well, that's when you're over 60, you got to have one. So, you know, it's like, I don't care where they track me, you know. So, okay, Paul went to the studio today. Yay! So, hey, maybe they'll listen to the show. But anyhow, it's just there's got to be another motive in my book. I think it'll come out later. Maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But, you know, to see if they're filing tax returns, to see if they're, you know, what if they're, you know, I don't know. I think there's going to be something in there. But that's just me. But I'm not QAnon, so.
Well, it doesn't change the filing requirement for the time being.
No, it doesn't.
Otherwise, you might want to write your congressman.
And, you know, for those of us that are on the, what do they call that app? The where you learn a language, the, no, the other one. I've got it myself.
Duolingo
app. Boire, B-O-I-R, if you add an E, boire in French, je bois du thé. That means I drank some tea. So if you add an E, this thing means drink. And that's probably what you'll do when you're filling it out. All right. So after the break, Chris will be back with me. We're going to have a little bit of fun on those questions that I prompted you with in the very beginning of the show. Remember my rage about, not rage, my mantra about what sellers and buyers are asking right now? We're going to go through that together, and we're going to talk some more. The show, Your Real Estate Today, News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Back to real estate we go.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
Rocking our way back to real estate. Here we are, Paul Jamison, your host, owner of Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. You know, a lot of people this time of year are looking for ways to create passive income. And as you all know, Jamison Property Management is there to help you manage the homes while the investment division can help you identify those homes. We really focus on quality homes for quality tenants. And it makes a big difference in how you do things and how you invest and the areas you invest in. So more of that to come at another time. But you can always call us at 846-DUNN, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. Here with Chris from Norwood, Armstrong & Stokes. You know, Chris, if people have questions and they want to talk to you about anything having to do with the legal side of real estate, what number do they call?
Well, you can always get a hold of me at 704-529-1100, extension number 116.
All right. You can reach out to Chris if you have any questions with that. Norwood, Armstrong, and Stokes. Okay. So at the beginning of the show, I laid out what I hear. I mean, it's not like I go to parties and everybody talks real estate, although once they find out I'm in real estate, just kind of like you, Chris, when they found out you're an attorney, the legal questions come, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's okay. They don't stop either.
It's okay. I'm passionate about it, like you are, so I don't mind. I'll just tell them what I think. And they say, well, I find a home I want, even if mine is not sold. I'm afraid inventory is too light. Now, the one thing that I'm refreshed by is, first of all, they say inventory is light. Most consumers don't really understand that. They think there's tons of homes and they're not selling, and the opportunity to buy homes, you can go in and there's just like tons of them sitting on the market that they can negotiate on. And that is not true. Inventory is light. And I like that part about it. But finding a home, and when you either haven't sold yours or you are going to, takes planning and it takes strategy. For example, there are loan products out there called bridge loans that allow you to purchase a home while yours is on the market before it sells. And there are great products Sandy has that you can do that to take some of the pressure off. The other is if you're worried about that, sell your home and have a strategy, either staying in an Airbnb for a period of time or a place that you can stay in the short term until you find the home that you want. It's a clear strategy. I have some clients that are getting ready to do that. They're going to put their house on the market in March. They've not found their dream home, but they're going to move into an Airbnb until they find the home they want, and they're going to experiment. They're going to try living uptown, see what that's like. They're going to try, you know, living over off the lake, see what that's like. And there's Airbnbs out there to do that, or VRBOs. So that is a great strategy that doesn't limit you. When your money's in the bank, you got power, right? You got power. So I'm just saying. Sandy talked earlier, rates. I don't want to buy when the rate falls. I'm going to get stuck. That is absolutely not true. You can refinance. You can also put large lump sums of money down and recast your loan where your payment will change. Most lenders do that. Ask them. I know Sandy does. I need to rates to go down before I sell. There's a perception that because rates are up, there will not be enough buyers for the home. I was telling somebody the other day in a meeting that we put a home for sale in Ballantyne. And we had, I want to say, 50 people through the open house and were in multiple offer within 48 hours. I sold a home in Indian Trail, same way. We were in multiple offer before we even started the showings. Don't think for one minute that there's not demand. And, of course, there are certain homes that aren't flying off the market in certain price points. There's an affordability issue in some of those. But I do want to make it clear, instead of being on the market 7 days, it might be on the market 40 days. And that's okay. It doesn't mean that price is going to get sacrificed in all cases. If it's overpriced, it will. But that's true about anything, right? Next, I don't want to lose my low rate. Well, you're gonna if you sell. But here's an alternative, friends, and I've been talking to a lot of people about this. So if you'd have an open mind with me for a minute, then I think you will understand there's another opportunity here. For many who have homes with a low interest rate, either too big of a house or they need to make a change, why not put that house up for rent? Turn it into an investment. I mean, you still have 3 years before you lose the 5-year capital gain exemption if it was your primary 2 out of the last 5 years. The truth of that matter is that gives you ultimate flexibility where you can still capture the gain tax-free in the next 3 years, but use it as a rental and work tax strategies around that. I'm not a CPA. I don't play one on TV, so ask your CPA for more information. But think about not letting go of that rate and turning it into an investment property. That gives you a lot of options. Just something I want to say. All right. Last, I don't know what to fix in my house. Let the buyer fix it to their own taste. That's not a good strategy. You want top dollar. Fix the stuff that needs to be fixed. Why? I want to make that clear. Here's why. If I go into your house, Chris, and you need new countertops in the kitchen to make it more updated, you need new carpet, you need to fix a couple of things, do you think if I look at those repairs, I'm going to estimate in my own head that they're more than what they actually cost or less?
If I'm the seller?
I'm the buyer coming to your house. You're the seller. And I see you need all these things. Am I going to estimate in my head high or low, or am I going to get it exact?
I would think you're guessing low and I'm looking high.
See, if I'm the buyer, I'm going to estimate that all the repairs that need to be done to your house you're selling, Chris, I'm going to estimate higher. Because my perception of what needs to be done is probably higher in cost than what it actually cost if you went ahead and did it yourself before you put it on the market. If you replace the carpet, if you replace the countertops, if you did all that, you're going to take the question out of it for me. Now,
There's a hybrid way to do this. Let's say, Chris, that your house needs new carpet and new countertops. Well, go out and get an estimate for what those things cost. Put them on the counter so that if you can't afford to do them, the buyer knows what they cost in order to get them done. And you help them bridge the gap of what that could be. One of the greatest examples is a new roof. People have an overinflated perception of what a new roof costs. And I'm just saying, countertops too. Give them some quotes. All right, buyers, and I'm going to get quick here because I'm coming down to it. I'm going to get the eye from TJ. I will wait till the rates go down before I buy. If you wait, prices are going to go up. You're going to pay more. I want to offer way lower than the list price. It didn't sell in a week. Time to lower the price. If you look at the price reductions across the market, they range to be about 5%. So when prices did come down, that was about how far they came down. So be aware of that, okay? But also, probably that strategy won't work if the home's priced right. I want the seller to pay my points and loan cost. Well, they may. They may do that in the vein of no price reduction. So keep that into effect. And I need the seller to fix everything on the report. Don't do that. They shouldn't. If it's broke, fix it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Might, could, would, should is not a valid reason to fix something. All right. If you want us 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at My Jamison Home. And Chris, one more time, your number?
704-529-1100, extension 116.
Thank you, Chris. The show, Your Real Estate Today. God bless. Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.